what do you feel in your body when you hear the term white people?
I feel like a cringe about it.
Cringe is a good word.
White, straight, cisgender man is the top of the pile.
So I'm on the top of the pile.
It's me.
Can I just propose a toast? Raise a glass if you're racist. To racist.
That was really weird.
Don't deny that you're racist. Try not to be racist, but also don't realize that you're...
Until we're willing to talk about these things, healing can't really begin.
My daughter's 4 years old. She's still watching Disney movies and choosing a white princess.
Have you talked to her about that?
All the time.
Is racism inherent to whiteness?
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah, probably.
Well, yeah.
Joining us now is Matt, certified DEI expert.
Did race exist as a reality before?
We made race exist.
Does that make sense?
It does make sense. What do you mean?
What you're doing is you're stretching out of your whiteness. This is more for you and less for you.
Am I Racist? Now streaming only on Daily Wire Plus. Rated PG-13.
The Yankees avoid getting swept in Game 4 of the World Series. Matt Moscona is going to join us to discuss the current state of LSU football as they prepare for Bama. And we break down the best and worst from the NFL last week. Check it out and more on the Wednesday edition. Crane & Company. Hey, everybody listening. Almost to the back end of the week and closer to the weekend. Hope you're having a fantastic day. If you got a little time, doesn't matter how you're listening to us, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, please leave us a 5-star review and subscribe to the show. If y'all don't mind, I want to get on my soapbox for a minute here, so bear with me. Neutral site games in college football during the regular season for 99.999% of the sport is incredibly dumb to me. There is an exception, and I'm going to get to that shortly. But it was just announced that the Florida-Georgia game, or as we call it, the world's largest outdoor cocktail party, will go from Jacksonville to Atlanta in 2026 and then to Tampa in 2027. I absolutely hate this, and neutral site games for the most part during the regular season in general. With college football, one of the best parts is the home environment, not just because it's raucous and nuts, but because of where it is. They are mostly in smaller towns and cities like Oxford, Auburn, Tuscaloosa, Athens, and Eugene. These towns run off the big colleges, and football brings in the most people. It also makes a smaller or middle-sized community into a big community for a day. It helps hotels, restaurants, and the entire economy in that city. Places like Atlanta and LA, they don't need the extra help. There's tons to do there. And it takes away from a huge opportunity for the places that aren't filled with millions of people and have multiple options of what to do. It just goes against everything that makes college football so incredible to me. Neutral site games should be meant for bowl games and or other postseason games. And what's so ass backwards about this is now we have added a home game for some teams that make the college football playoff if their seeding is right. Yet we'll still play neutral site games during the regular season. It's counterproductive, in my opinion. Now, as usual, there is an exception to the rule, and that's the Texas and Oklahoma game being played at the State Fair in Dallas because it does coincide with that huge event, and they have been doing it there since 1932. And before the Florida and Georgia fans come in and say, well, we've played in Jacksonville for a long time, we did get a taste of a home-and-home cocktail party in 1994 and 1995 because of stadium renovations. I can understand why some people like it, I guess, because of the longevity. But to me, we have that precedent for this game. So let's go back to the home and home. I think Florida and Georgia fans would love that overall. So it may seem like a little thing to a lot of people, but I grew up in a college town. I know how important each home game is, not only for the fans, but for the business community as well. And I want to play every game home and home in the college football regular season. David Cohn. Played in a little place called Ann Arbor at Michigan. And my brother played basically in the city that's right next to where the Grinch lives. It was Whoville at Western State, yeah, Colorado.
It was cold.
It was way up there and freezing, and that dude stole Christmas. He sucks.
That dude?
No, well, he helped. Blaine helped.
That's not proven.
Blaine's a big Halloween guy.
There's no 4K footage.
Well, the fingerprints, they just got a partial. They didn't get a full. Cone, what are your thoughts on me saying I'm fine with Texas and Oklahoma? being played at the state fair because, again, that event kind of coincides, and there's exceptions to rules. Outside of that, man, and it's not just the Florida-Georgia game. It's like the Chick-fil-A kickoff.
Sure.
Or like playing in
Aflac kickoff now.
Which is Aflac, excuse me. I just think the essence of college football, man, is those home environments.
Preach. Yeah, look, being from Georgia, I've long said that Georgia and Florida should play each other on a college campus rather than a neutral site. And look, I'm just telling you, from being down in that area, a lot of my friends who went on to play at Georgia, they've never seen this as a neutral site game. They always see it as an away game because you're playing down closer to Gainesville, you're playing in the state of Florida. But that aside, I've said that it should be a home and home, but I've always tried to be measured in my opinion of that because so many fans come up to me, and I've been down to Jacksonville. It's a great environment. Fans come up to me and say, hey, you know, we love the tradition. It's great for the city of Jacksonville. We have our thing going kind of like Texas and Oklahoma have in Dallas at the state fair like you're talking about. So I've never gone too hard in on this topic. But when I see a situation where the stadium's going to go under renovations, and even then we can't get the home and home, just like we had in 94, 95, I think that's, you were talking about that, and we're going to play in Atlanta and Tampa, like that's when I really start to get frustrated. Why, if we're leaning on the tradition of playing in Jacksonville, then why, when that's taken away for 2 years, can we not at least get to see these teams face off in their home stadiums? That to me is disgraceful.
And I'll give you another great example. Another rivalry game that used to be played at a quote-unquote neutral site, even though Legion Field in Birmingham was not a neutral site. Auburn and Alabama.
Iron Bowl.
When Pat Dye got the job, it went to a home-and-home where Alabama would go to Auburn and Auburn would go to Alabama, and it's electric. I think it's more electric than any of the games at Legion Field, and the old heads will argue with me, punt Bama punt or Van Tiffin or whatever. But to me, I think we do have an example of taking a neutral site rivalry game and not just the Florida-Georgia one in 94 and 95, Blaine, but watching what happened with the Iron Bowl, can you just imagine? Because I know Florida and Georgia, there ain't a lot of love lost there. It's like North Korea and South Korea. And I'm not saying which one is which. But you're right on top of each other. One's below, one's on top. And think about this back when we had divisions. A lot of time, this game had huge implications on which team would come out of the East and play in Atlanta. What are your thoughts on it?
Well, I agree with both of you. I mean, this should be a home and home rivalry. Like, I mean, just taken away from not only Florida fans, but, I mean, Georgia fans as well, just the experience they could have. I mean, there's a reason we made the first round games in the playoffs home games.
Yeah.
Like, for Biden, because it's just better. It's better for college football. And, well, I mean, it's why we can't have nice things. If there's ever a time to do this, just to see it, just to feel it out, would be now when that stadium is under renovation.
And they did it before.
I know. It just nothing about it makes sense. But, well, why are we even questioning it? These guys to come out here and make things logical for college football fans, because at the end of the day, it's just a money play anyways.
Yeah, that's why we got to be in charge, though. That's why we got to be in charge. All right, I want to know what the chat thinks. I'm going to get to them in 1 second. But let's say you want to bet on the Florida-Georgia game this weekend. I don't know what that spread's up to. Maybe it's 16.5. Is it 17? I don't know if it went up or down. We'll update it. Maybe you want to bet on the NHL or the NBA or the World Series. Hey, it's still going. Well, you need to head over to betonline.ag today. Add it to your sportsbook repertoire, or if you're new to sports gambling, right, first off, you've come to the right place. Let me tell you where to go. That's betonline.ag. Use that promo code BOOSTER, B-O-O-S-T-E-R, for a 50% sign-up bonus of up to $250. That's free money, people. And plus, that's not all. All right, it's a Billy Mays moment. BetOnline is tossing a free 100 spins in their casino for all who sign up ahead of this year's presidential election, which is next Tuesday, in case you haven't heard. And oh, yeah. You can bet on politics at betonline.ag as well and use that promo code BOOSTER to get you some extra money to do it. Easy to navigate the website. Payouts are versatile. They give you different methods. It's very trustworthy. BetOnline, where the options are endless, and so is the fun. Let's get to the chat.
All right, Chad, hit that like, hit that subscribe button. If you donate, it's on topic, it will get read. We're going to start the day off with Ron. What's up, Ron? It says a cocktail party rivalry would have never become the cocktail party if it was a home and home.
Well, are we saying it wouldn't be as big of a rivalry game? Like, I don't buy it. You saying people wouldn't drink?
Or it, like, just wouldn't have that title.
It just wouldn't have that title. Like, I don't think anybody from Florida or Georgia goes into the game and will be like, you know, they're not calling it the world's largest cocktail party. I'm not playing as hard.
Aren't they already trying to get that banned, too?
Yeah, look what happened to the Red River Shootout. They've changed that thing like four times. Now it's like the Red River, let's hold hands and tell stories that, make each other feel good.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't buy into that. Call it whatever you want. Call it a purple hippo with dyslexia. Just, it's a hell of a game. It's four to play in Georgia.
Did he say which side? Is he a fan of one of the teams?
Oh, I'm not sure. No, he didn't.
But if he is, then that kind of backs up what I've been saying. Like, fans of both of these teams have said throughout, well, more Florida fans, I guess, have said,
I bet.
Let's leave it where it is. You know, we like the tradition going to Jacksonville. We look forward to it every year, taking our families. But, man, I just don't get it.
I'm sure Bama fans loved when it was in Birmingham, too.
All right, let's go to the K-Man. He says, I think doing a rivalry game as a neutral site can be okay every few years, but overall it should be a home and home every other time. Mm.
Compromise? That's what I'm hearing. Compromise? Maybe every third year.
Rotation.
That's how you would have to do it, right? Mm. You play home at Florida one year, the next year play at Georgia, right? And then you can go neutral site.
Isn't that cooler?
That's cooler that to me, cool? But everybody wins.
Because one, if you play on the team for 4 years, like you're supposed to in college football, every player would get to experience that at least once.
And when you can play for 6 years now,
you get to do it twice.
All right, let's go to C-Dub. What's up? He says, the big wigs know that if you do a home and home, that teams will never want to go back to neutral games ever.
Now you're cooking. There's another element to this. It's the recruit angle. And I don't think, and I'm not 100% sure, so chat, fact check me on this. I don't know if you're allowed to bring recruits to this game if you're Florida or Georgia. So if I'm Kirby Smart or I'm Billy Napier, I'm missing out on a huge recruiting opportunity. Because again, this isn't Florida A&M coming into play. This isn't, you know, the Georgia Military College going to play Florida. This is Georgia coming into Gainesville. This is Florida coming into Athens. It's a freaking showdown, dude. The city is absolutely lit. I want recruits there. Come get immersed in the hate.
I'd like to know who has the final say. Is it the presidents? Is it the ADs? Is it the conference? Do the television networks?
Where does the hierarchy end?
Or do the venues like Mercedes-Benz just offer so much money that it's a moot point?
Well, obviously, you know, there's contracts that go into it. So you'd have to wait until a contract ran out or something, I would guess. But don't you think it would be? So if Greg Sankey, Timmy B says this all the time, serves at the pleasure of the presidents, then don't you think the presidents would have the decision, like, of the two schools? I don't know. I try to stay out of the principal's office. Let's just put it that way.
Let's go to Drew. What's up? Drew says, can you imagine Michigan and Ohio State getting played at Fort Field? This entire thing is a stupid concept.
They would play in Toledo.
I'm honestly, like, genuinely interested. And, David, you said this. And I would probably guess, if you put a gun to my head and said, Jake, guess the numbers on what the fans think. I would assume that more Florida fans are fine with it than Georgia fans are. But I would think overall, most of them, and again, I'm not trying to speak for all of them. That's why we have a chat. That's why we have polls and all this. I wonder what the overall consensus from both fan bases is when it comes down to, would you rather play it at do a home and home or play it in Jacksonville? Because I do think that leans a little bit Florida's way when it comes down to it.
You know, another interesting thing, we were talking about the Aflac kickoff game. Well, Georgia played in that this year. They play in that game often, right? So, and I don't know exactly who's slated for the future, but you could have a situation where the year that this is supposed to be in Mercedes-Benz, that Georgia plays in the Aflac kickoff game and makes the SEC championship that year and plays in Mercedes-Benz three times, yeah, and possibly even in the playoff four times.
And to me, like, the Florida-Georgia game isn't the most egregious example of this, because they have been doing it since, like, 1933. And Texas and Oklahoma has done it since, like, 1932, I believe. There's some wiggle room for me on those two. Just on those two. But it's the other ones. It's like, guys, guess what? Oregon is going to play Alabama, but they're going to play it in, you know, Dallas. Like, come on, man. Or like, they're going to play it in Detroit. Or they're going to play it in L.A. That, to me, the kickoffs at the beginning of the year. And I guess maybe one of the other examples I would say is I don't mind the Notre Dame playing in Ireland. I don't mind that.
Or Yankee Stadium.
Or Yankee Stadium somewhat, but more in Ireland. There's a couple of examples where I'm fine with, but overall, like the start of the season where two teams from totally different places are playing in a place where neither one of them are, that's what I don't like.
All right, let's go to Ken. What's up, Ken? He says, if your state borders touch, no neutral site games.
Sold. I'll take that one.
I can get behind that.
What did he say?
If the states touch. So, like, let me give you another example. A&M and Arkansas playing in Arlington. What are we doing? Playing in Baton Rouge and then in Fayetteville. And that's a rivalry game, too. Why are we playing this in Arlington? Let's not go to a Rangers game after. I think that's as stupid as any of the other ones.
All right, let's go to C. Kirby. He says, let's rephrase the question to what it really is. Are you willing to sacrifice a home game at a time when the playoffs are at hand? No, I want every advantage I can get. Make it a home versus home.
Now, add the recruiting element to it, and it does nothing but reinforce that even more.
All right, let's go to Bo M. He says, I see absolutely no benefit for the Aggies to play the Razorbacks in Dallas. Maybe see some benefit for the Hogs, but horrible for Fayetteville to play in the big...
Dallas, Arlington, wherever. I can't remember off the top of my head exactly. I believe they play in Arlington, right? That's where they played this year?
I don't think so this year. Didn't you talking about Arkansas LSU?
Yeah.
No, they went to Arkansas this year, but they played there before.
Not Arkansas LSU. Arkansas Texas A&M. I'm sorry. Not Arkansas. Arkansas Texas A&M, not Arkansas LSU. That's what I meant. That's the game. I'm pretty sure they played that in Arlington, but I need to double check on that.
All right, let's go to...
That's what I meant to say.
Let's go to Duty Price. He says, Texas, Oklahoma should never be a home and home. We don't want Sooners in Austin, and we don't want them to step foot in Norman.
I think you guys are the exception to the rule. I'm willing to look the other way, right? It's like the mayor's kid when he's in school. Some people don't need a hall pass. All right, I get it.
Let's go to Chad. What's up, Chad? As a longtime Notre Dame football nut, I detest neutral site games during the regular season. It's all money grab, and while Notre Dame is rich, it hurts the game that I love.
Chad, what do you think about the Notre Dame and Ireland game, though? Like, I do want to know, Notre Dame fans in the chat, what do you guys think about it? Because to me, I think that's cool. I actually think that's cool. It's, to be honest with you, like, I really don't have a problem with the NFL playing a couple games overseas. I don't mind that part. It's the essence of college football part of these big games at the beginning of the year that really just pisses me off the most. That's the one that really gets me.
All right, let's go to Bill Wang. What's up, Bill? He says, Florida and Georgia weekend, a good time to visit our kids in Athens. Can we please make it a home and home? And he's an LSU fan.
I'm feeling consensus from the chat right now. I think most college football fans want the home and home games, David. But speaking about home and games, all right, there's a new game out here. Matt Walsh's documentary, we know. It's the number one documentary of the decade. It's now streaming on the Daily Wire Plus. You have Am I Racist? The Game. It's, you know, the excitement continues. It's absolutely blown it out of the water. This is a game where you and your friends do the work to figure out what your anti-racist journey is. All right, the stakes are high because you get a question wrong. You know the deal. One person draws a stereotype or debate card, and everyone else votes whether it's right or whether it's racist. And also, while you're in there, get some Lady Ballers merch.
Yeah.
Right? Grab a Sheelix jersey. Grab some Crane & Company stuff, whether it's candles, whatever. We got tons of great stuff in the merch shop. Make sure you check that out. Go to dailywire.com/shop to shop the collection today. Really excited for Matt and all the success he has had here. We got another Matt coming on here in 4 minutes. His name's Matt Moscona. We're going to get to him. Let's go in the chat for another second here until we get to Maddie.
All right, let's go to Taylor. Taylor, what's up? He says, as a Gator fan, I would love to have a Swamp Knight advantage over UGA. Might be the only way we could win anyway.
Let's just set the scene for a moment at both places. Night game. The air's smoky. Everybody's had a little bit to drink. Hope you drink your Z-Biotics. All right, I'm going to get to that later. All right, we know how the swamp is. The fog's there, right? It's nuts. And here comes Georgia. The dogs. Rolling into Gainesville. Then let's flip it. Athens. I'm not talking about Greece. All right. I'm talking about Georgia. A mecca of college football. A blackout. Fans wearing the shoulder pads with the spikes. People screaming. Everybody's still drinking cocktails. We can call it whatever the hell y'all want to call it. I don't care. The cocktail party, the beer pong party, whatever you want to call it. Just think about those scenes. That's what I think about the most of college football. The whiteout at Penn State. The eagle flying at Auburn. The decibel level at Oregon, the big house running through the T at Tennessee. What are we doing? I hate it. Fix it.
We've asked the question, is Kirby Smart going to be the new Nick Saban now that Nick Saban has retired? If he ends up becoming that sort of figure for Georgia, he could get this game moving.
You think he could? Like he'd have that Pat Dye pull?
Yeah. Why not?
I think you're right. With Billy Napier, probably not. They'd be like, Billy, I'm sorry, why are you in here?
Hey, they beat Mississippi State by 25.
All right, let's go to the chat.
$5 donation from Jake Stewart. Appreciate it, Jake. AT&T Stadium and Globe Life Field are in Arlington, Texas.
Arlington, I knew I was right. And it was Arkansas and Texas A&M. I don't get it. I don't understand it. let's just play it home and home. But speaking about not getting your understanding, one guy who does get it, and you best believe he understands it, and he understands the Yankees are down 3-1 right now in the World Series, is our buddy from After Further Review. Got a similar shaped head to Clark Lee. Matt Moscona. Matty, what's up, dog?
Why you gotta start me off like that?
Hey, dog. It's every day.
Was it the Yankees thing?
Every day we start the show, he just absolutely glazes cone with a compliment. Just wrecks me every morning. It's nothing new.
Was it the Yankees thing or the Clark Lee thing?
So first of all, the bald thing, just whatever. I mean, I'm a bald guy. I don't care.
Matt, you look good bald. I would look awful bald.
Thank you. I don't care, but like bald joke. I'm bald.
It's the Yankees
like
the thing, isn't it?
The Yankees thing. How the Braves doing?
Huh?
Golly, he had to go.
Same. Hey,
he had to go there.
Not about to lose the World Series.
Yeah. That's right. Who the Braves play today?
See, that's
Freddie Freeman's doing good for really the Dodgers. He's still a Brave to me.
Yeah, I bet you wish you had Freddie Freeman still playing in Atlanta, right?
Sitting
home like the rest of the Braves doing nothing right now.
Yeah, I don't know, but how are the Falcons doing compared to the Saints? Ugh.
Well, actually, I'm pretty excited about this because the Saints continue to nosedive like this. They may finally force this organization's hand into doing what they should have done 3 years ago, which is tear it down and rebuild it.
Yeah, well, Matt, I was going to get to this in the back end, but since we said that, I know, obviously, you cover the Saints a lot, too. Like, what does Dennis Allen have to do to get... And listen, I don't root for... there's a couple guys I root to get fired. Does Dennis Allen have pictures of, like, the governor or something? Like, what has to happen?
Well, the Saints are such a weird organization. I don't know that anybody actually cares about this. But so when Tom Benson died, his wife Gail Benson took over. They didn't have children, and he's estranged from his family. So there's no heir. So Mickey Loomis, the GM, Dennis Lauscher, the VP, there's this planned succession already. So it's like they're operating an organization where there's no fear of consequences. Yeah. And that's a terrible place to be. And I'm not saying anybody should go to work fearing for their job. That's a miserable thing to do. Mm. But we're all held accountable. I mean, guys, like if I don't get ratings and sponsors, they're going to find somebody who will. You know what I mean? Dennis Allen doesn't win football games. Mickey Loomis has done a bad job managing the cap, drafting players, putting together support staff. Like, I mean, the results are what they are. You're a terrible organization, man. Yeah. So I don't know. It's disappointing because there's no real reason to believe that anybody is going to be forced into any type of action or reaction.
Yeah. Well, the funny part about that whole interaction we just had is actually like the Saints better than the Falcons, but I did pick the Falcons to win the division before the year. Moving on to LSU, Matt, I just, obviously you got Bama coming up. You're on a bye week. You're tapped in down there. You know, I hate this term, but, you know, you understand the vibes, kind of the pulse of where the people are. How are LSU fans feeling after that second half kind of, and I want to give A&M their flowers, but kind of the meltdown it was in the second half against A&M. What's kind of, is there a level of desperation there knowing you got to, you know, thread the needle where are LSU fans at?
I don't know that I would say desperation. I think it really depends on who you ask and what people's expectations were. Mm-hmm. I mean, guys, like we talked back in Dallas in media days and we talked so much about how, like there were like 8 fan bases that all expected their team was going to be, 10-2, we're going to make the playoff every year. Mm-hmm. Like Georgia, Texas, Bama, Tennessee, LSU, Missouri, A&M, like they were all saying the same thing. It's like, dog, there's only 12 spots. Like you're not all getting in. You're not all going 10-2. So, I mean, LSU had a lot of questions coming into this year, man. Replacing Jaden, 2 first round picks at receiver, your OC, your worst defense in the history of the program last year. So I think you were realistic. You probably knew LSU would be in this spot going into November. I guess as disappointing as the other night is, and it's disappointing, all you really lost was your mulligan, right? You lost your margin. Everything's still in play if you can go win your next 4 and 3 of the next 4 at home, and you're going to be favored in all 4. So you can do it. I don't know if they will, but they can.
Yeah, well, I mean, you still control your own destiny. That's why I called that game last week the ultimate insurance game, because that's really what it does. You lost your mother. It was your breakfast ball. That's what it was, and you hooked it left into the woods. Now let's get out on the fairway a little bit and get some good mojo going, Coach.
So let's keep that going, Matt. I mean, LSU 2 losses, Alabama 2 losses. Like you said, no margin for error for either program. Both can still make the college football playoff. I mean, technically, the SEC championship game could be in play, especially for LSU, since one of those losses was out of conference. Alabama going to come to Death Valley. most likely going to be a night game. Maybe you can fill us in on that. But, you know, what are you thinking right now about the trajectory of Alabama following the Georgia game? Certainly they seem gettable. What are the keys to victory for that first year post-Saban, you know?
Conan, have you seen anything I've done on,
yeah,
on,
dude,
my
we
show
watch,
on YouTube over the last
every time
months?
Bama loses, I go look exactly
seen a little bit.
Yeah.
Suffice to say, I am giddy with how this season has gone in Tuscaloosa. My entire premise, like, and I know I've done, for those who haven't seen it, I've done this bit for 10 months called Bama is Burning. And anytime there's any type of misfortune, I play O Fortuna, put flames on the screen and just revel in their misery. But the point that I've, the sensible point has been, you don't lose the greatest coach ever and not miss a beat. You don't turn over half your roster year to year and not miss a beat. Mm-hmm. Bama's still going to be good. They're still going to win games. They're still going to be really competitive. I've never said they wouldn't be that. They're just not going to be the unstoppable force they were. So I'm not surprised at all, Cone. I've never been a believer in Jalen Milroe. I think he's a phenomenal athlete. We've seen great athletes that play the quarterback position in college and do so effectively. I mean, Tim Tebow is the greatest college football player I ever saw. He wasn't a great quarterback. I think that's what you got here with Milroe. And it's been, I think over the last month, what you've seen teams do is say, you know what? We're just going to crowd the line. We're going to make sure you don't run for a buck 40, and we're going to make you throw, and we don't think you can. And time and again, he's proven he can't because he's not an accurate thrower. So, I think it kind of plays maybe into LSU's hands a little bit a week from Saturday. But now I'm not surprised by what's happened in Tuscaloosa at all. I mean, shoot, guys, they should have lost to South Carolina. I mean, that was a gross level of incompetence, especially at the end of the first half by Kalen DeBoer and his staff to even allow Carolina the opportunity for the safety and the field goal before half. I mean, it's a different reality there. And I think everything I've said for 10 months is starting to resonate with a lot of people in Alabama. They know I'm right.
You're right about a lot of the Jalen Milroe take there. What's interesting is he throws the deep ball really well.
I don't believe he does, man.
Yeah.
Listen, here's the thing, and I'm sorry to interrupt.
No, go ahead.
When you have Ryan Williams, like, look at the play against Georgia. On the stat sheet, that's a 75-yard touchdown.
And it wasn't a great throw. Yeah.
It was an underthrown ball where a freak show kid made an acrobatic catch and a pirouette and ran. Like,
Like, maybe part of it is he appears to throw the deep ball better because
you'd rather underthrow a deep ball than overthrow.
But hold on, I haven't even gotten to the heart of the point, though, which is Garrett. Ken. No. I want to break this down, but on the flip side of that, Garrett Nussmeier, I've seen make many NFL throws, and then he will turn the football over as well. So what I'm saying is there necessarily a trust factor where you trust Garrett Nussmeier and LSU more right now than Jalen Milroe, even though it was those Nussmeier interceptions really that I think cost you guys against Texas A&M?
Yeah, and the strange thing, and I know maybe a couple weeks ago, Jake, your comments about Nuss and the comment we had, you know, the combo we had for the season, that got a lot of run around LSU circles. And the thing is, you know, that was the big question for Nuss coming into the season. Could he protect the ball? And by and large, guys, this year he's done that. He had a couple of lazy wins against South Alabama when they were up big. One of them, the one against USC was a desperation heave interception at the end of the game. But really, he's been good, man, until that final quarter and a half against A&M where all the things that you feared kind of popped up, just trying to do too much. And, you know, Brian Kelly's even said, Cone, you could probably appreciate this. He said, look, a big part of that is Garrett feels like he's got to stand on his head every play because he can't run the ball. And you feel like you got to make a play every time, maybe you're taking some chances that you otherwise wouldn't. So, I mean, guys, look, they got to figure out a way to run the ball. You're 8 games in, you are what you are. They're not going to be a great rushing offense. They're 111th in the country in rush offense, which is so weird to say about LSU. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, let that resonate.
Yeah.
But they got to find a way to at least be competent, to at least complement what they're doing in the passing game.
Blaine, I know you want to ask about something and ask for the chat, but I want to stay on this point because coming into the year, and I've said this the last, probably 3 to 4 weeks, I have two units that I've been incredibly disappointed with their offensive line play. And not that LSU's bad in pass pro. It's a lot of it's, you know, the run game. And that does affect your pass protection because you get in passing downs. Is LSU and Ole Miss? Because the expectation we had coming into the year, I mean, Matt, even us on this show, we're like, look, Will Campbell for the USC games, like, we're not going out there to go to Caesars. We're going to go in there and bash your head in. You look at him and Emery and what you guys had in the middle. You're like, this is what's going to help Garrett get used to this. Like, this is what's going to help this LSU offense and maybe even the defense get some confidence because the offense, while it may not be as good as the year before with Jaden, and it shouldn't be, is going to still be really good. But I can't believe we're to the point of the year and we're sitting here the week before Alabama plays LSU and we're saying, well, LSU's defense, right, is going up against an Alabama rushing attack, and we actually have some confidence in LSU's defense being able to slow down the run, but yet we don't have confidence in LSU's offense to be able to run the ball. Because, yeah. Dude, I think Durham's a good back.
Yeah, he is.
I think, and
yeah.
You got a good tight end in Mason
Catches
Taylor.
Out of the backfield too.
So as much as we've talked about Garrett Nussmeier and the turnovers, he really is having to do everything, and that's another reason why I said that against A&M. But really quickly, I do want to go back to what you said about Jalen Milroe being his best ball is his deep ball. I think you don't look at it as Jalen Milroe has an elite deep ball, but if I'm grading Jalen Milroe on what he does best as a passer, even if he's an average passer, his deep ball is probably the thing that he's the best. He's an outfielder to me. That's what he is. Now, I think that's the Georgia game kind of changed some people's minds because he was really good in the intermediate and they were killing him. But he hasn't been able to consistently do that, whether it's digs, right, whether it's overs or anything like that. If he could, he could come together. But just when you look at the matchup with you know, defensively, with Alabama shutting out Missouri, and I know Missouri isn't a fantastic football team and they were beat up, in Death Valley, if you had to take LSU's offense or Alabama's offense, which one do you think has the most success that night in that place?
I would take LSU's offense. I don't necessarily mean I think they're going to win the game, but I think LSU got the better quarterback, and especially the venue. I mean, guys, like if this were being played in Tuscaloosa, I'd probably have a very different feeling.
For sure.
But, mm-hmm. I mean, golly, we saw with LSU against Ole Miss, where Ole Miss was a better team, man. The venue ate them up. I mean, they missed a 32-yard field goal. Trey Harris dropped a walk-in 81-yard touchdown. And they got the ball at the LSU 13, Ole Miss did, and got no points out of it. They failed to convert a 4th-and-1. Flip side of it is look at what just happened to LSU and College Station, 108,000 people. And, I mean, the second you left that door open for them, man, they kicked it through. Yeah. So, yeah, man, I mean, I like LSU's offense because I like LSU's receivers and quarterback, and I don't think Alabama's got enough guys on the back end to stop LSU's receivers. Mm-hmm. And I don't see Dallas Turner coming anywhere. I mean, I don't see that Alabama front terrorizing. I mean, as much as LSU's offensive line has struggled, guys, they've been exceptional in pass protection. I mean, before Saturday, they allowed 2 sacks all season. And the 2 they allowed Saturday were when LSU was in desperation mode and A&M was just pinning their ears back and coming. Yeah. So You keep Nussmeier upright and you let him sling it to those receivers. I mean, there's a reason they are where they are, man, and it's him.
Yeah. And I'll say to the LSU fans that are worried that you couldn't stop a mobile quarterback in Marcel Reed, you did it literally the week before at Arkansas against a quarterback that's a problem. So the consistency level, that's
kind of
getting
ready
fixed
for Reed, I don't know.
Yeah, that's true. It kind of came out of left field.
Well, Matt, one thing I'm ready for is to get your take on supposedly this Yankees fan interference. What's your thoughts?
I freaking loved it.
Look clean to me, Matt.
I love
Lane said he didn't make a football move.
He never tucked it, took a step.
How about your guy, like, prying the glove open? And then his buddy, bro, is holding Betts' wrist. So, like, Mookie has to bring his other hand, like,
I saw a tweet, and I don't know if it's true. Turns out, Matt, in the least shocking thing ever, this guy and Gronk were friends in college. Totally adds up. But I saw a tweet that they said before, if a ball comes our way, we're going to D up if the Yankees are hitting. Like, it just shows you. You want to talk about getting close to the game? We talk about winning the water cooler here, get the fans.
Now, that's home field advantage, right?
That's
you're down 3-0.
Advantage.
You got to do something.
You got to do something. We got to change something quick. But, all right, let's get to the chat for Matt.
All right, we got a $12 donation from DB for Moscona. Rumors have been circulating around Tiger Nation that Whit Weeks was seen in the 225 wearing a do-rag and Oakley blades. Misinformation, or is he that kind of white boy, Matt?
There was a video from the locker room where he had on a do-rag. He took it off and he had cornrows. So he's
God,
about
I believe
life,
in that. It's, God,
you
I
can
believe
find
that.
It. It's on Twitter. He's about that life.
All right, let's go to Matt13_7. What's up, brother? He says, don't really believe in Nuss in the last couple weeks. He needs to quit turning the ball over. Why is it that when LSU actually fields a defense, there's always something that goes wrong?
I think it's hard to be consistent in all three phases, right? I mean, that's what makes great teams, isn't it? I mean,
yeah.
Like, how many isn't that the thing? That was the thing with Lane Kiffin, man. His offenses were great, but they lost the line of scrimmage. Or Josh Heupel, man, they had this great passing game, but they couldn't win the line of scrimmage. It's really tough to build a roster 1-85 that's great in all three phases. Nick Saban spoiled everybody into thinking that was easy to do.
And that's one of the main pillars of what made Nick Saban so incredible was not just structurally, he could get unbelievably talented guys to play disciplined in all three phases. If you get out-personneled and out-disciplined, you're going to get your ass kicked. But there's a lot of reverse LSU going on this year. Look at Tennessee. Tennessee had this fire offense forever. They're like, man, if we can just get depth on defense, we are going to murder everyone. Hmm. Well, they're a defensive team still. You can say what you want. Look at Ole Miss. How many years did we say, bro, if Lane Kiffin gets a defense, watch out, Ole Miss will finally take the next step. I'll argue right now, Ole Miss's defense is the best part of their team.
Stranger Things.
Like, it's just part. Go ahead.
They're the number one rush defense in the country.
Well, Matt, you watch them use their hands at the line of scrimmage. What Walter Nolan does to grown adults in the trenches is illegal in 17 states and about to be 18 if this amendment passes.
Watch out for that.
Yeah.
Hey, Matt, I nearly forgot. I know we don't talk a lot of high school recruiting in the middle of the season, but I'm hearing some legitimate sources that Bryce Underwood may flip from LSU to Michigan. Obviously, Michigan, despite him looking me in the face at the On3 Summit and saying he's not going to Michigan because they haven't had any elite quarterbacks. What a slap on both sides of my face. Are these legitimate rumors here, or is he going to stay committed to LSU?
So I think he stays committed to LSU. I think what's happening, Cone, is first of all, Bryce Underwood hasn't even taken a visit to Michigan since July of 23. So he has not even visited Michigan's campus since Sharon Moore's been the coach. Mm. That's a lot of ground to make up in 5 weeks before the early signing period. And there's a lot. Look, I mean, what he told you all at the On3 thing. I watched that interview. I think there's some reality to it. He has a great relationship with Joe Sloan, LSU's offensive coordinator. They've done a great job building that relationship. And I think there's something to it. Like, Cone, you know this, man. Like, the Michigan man life, like, that's not for everybody.
No.
And I think, like, as much as Michigan people take pride in it, and you should, not everybody will. Similarly, like, LSU's kind of got this swagger about them. You know, you got Odell on the sideline. You got Jefferson doing the gritty every Sunday in the
Jaden's
NFL.
Jaden's balling in the NFL right now. Like,
There's something to that, and I think he wants to play in the SEC. Like, this is, I mean, I've never had a conversation with Bryce Underwood. I'm just telling you everything I've ever heard or been told with anybody associated with that. There's a lot of football reasons and life reasons and everything that he wants to be at LSU. So I think they get it across the finish line, man. But I understand if you're Sharon Moore, I mean, how do you go to your fan base and boosters losing that kid out of your state without saying, "Hey, look, you tried"?
No, I think that's the play. NIL. That's the play. They're at least trying. They're proving they're playing the NIL game. I mean, I've heard that, you know, Jimmy Harbaugh wasn't that big on him. He wasn't that big on Jim Harbaugh. But now that it's Coach Moore, they're at least making a play at him. At least, and I think, you know, Dave Portnoy's involved now with a lot of the NIL stuff. At least they can say, "Hey, we made a play at this guy," regardless if that's their guy.
Well, you know who wins in all this? Bryce Underwood. Sure. Let's start leveraging NIL, buddy.
I mean, I just want to know how LSU keeps getting all these night games.
Yeah, no, it's you and Lane Kiffin both.
What about Moscona, that one, secretly. Matt? What about that
But
one?
Matt, I know you got to get out of here, buddy. You're one of the best in the business.
What have you been doing, man?
Dude, he can't help it.
I got an idea. I got an idea, Lane. Here's an idea. Oh, did y'all cut me off? Here's
no, you're Lane. Good.
Oh, sorry. Here's an idea, Lane. Don't lose to Kentucky. Don't lose to LSU, and then maybe you'd have a night game against Georgia.
Well, it's like the Anthony Richardson thing, and I got great advice from a family member when I was younger. Just because you can say something doesn't mean you should say it. You can think that. There's a lot of people that think that. But how does that help your team? Like, I just don't I don't see how that helps
it's
your
Joe
team.
Joe Flacco time now, baby.
Yeah, it's Joe Flacco time.
Something
tired.
About him I trust, man. I don't know what it is.
That Super Bowl.
All right, Matt Moscona. Tell everybody where they can find you, my friend, and thanks again for joining us.
Yep, ESPN Radio all over Louisiana. You can stream us anywhere. If you could, obviously, just spell my name right, and then you can find me on the internet. I'm everywhere.
Definitely. Well, hey, you're the best, buddy. Thanks for hopping on. And hey, who knows? Maybe you guys come back from down 3-1. Maybe
you're never invited back. You're
Boy,
never
you want to talk about pissing?
Yeah.
You talk about pissing off Red Sox fans. It's all they got. Man. All right, appreciate it, Matt Moscona, right. One of the best in the business. Speaking about best in the business, before we get to this NFL best and worst, and phone lines are about to open. 1-855-236-3228. We want to hear from
you. Don't call us.
We're going to get back to the chat here soon. But look, they do call it the world's largest outdoor cocktail party, or at least they used to. And again, now it's called like the, you know, Hands Across America Bowl or whatever the hell it is. But if you're going to be drinking this weekend, or at any point, drink responsibly, okay? But you ever heard of magic? Yeah. Well, if you haven't, you're about to. It's called Z-Biotics. People ask me all the time, Jake, what is Z-Biotics? You're always talking about it. You're always drinking this little thing before you go drink, and then you always look like you feel good the next day. Right? It didn't feel look like you got hit by two trains and a kite the next day. Well, Z-Biotics is a pre-alcohol probiotic drink. It's the world's first genetically engineered probiotic. All right, to make it simple, all right, it's not dehydration that makes you feel bad the next day after maybe consuming too many libations or mixing them, which is a dangerous game. It's actually a byproduct in your gut. All right, it turns into alcohol gets converted into a toxic byproduct that Z-Biotic fights, and you don't feel as bad the next day or bad in general. I've used it. All my buddies use it. They use it. All right. And people keep hearing about it and we keep talking about it. And now that I've tried it, I get why everybody is talking about it. All right. And with their GMO technology, they're going to continue to invent probiotics that will help with everyday challenges of modern living. So go to zbiotics.com/booster to learn more and get 15% off your first order when you use Booster at checkout. Z-Biotics is backed with 100% money back guarantee. So if you're unsatisfied for any reason, you'll get your money back, but you won't be, I promise. Remember to head to zbiotics.com/booster and use the code Booster at checkout for 15% off. What are you laughing at?
Nothing, dude. All right, can I just live my life over here?
Why don't you just live your life?
Drink Z-Biotics. It really works.
It does. It's great stuff. All right, let's get to the chat. Oh, actually, let's get to NFL best and worst here. Coney, give me, talking about last week, including Monday and last Thursday, what's your NFL best from us?
The best is obviously Jameis Winston and the Cleveland Browns, the now 2-6 Cleveland Browns, beating really what I thought was the best team in the NFL up to this point. The Baltimore Ravens beat them 29-24. Deshaun Watson had gone out. We talked about it. Fans are cheering for his injury. I think that's a little bit too far. Old Jameis, famous Jameis, comes in, throws for 334, 27-41, three touchdowns, no picks. This Jameis was on the sideline the whole time. Deshaun, you're never coming back.
That was what I was going to ask you. Is Deshaun Watson never going to start a game at Cleveland at quarterback?
240 million reasons.
Like, it's hard not to like Jameis. You want to know why? Because Jameis is kind of like us.
I think Blaine tweeted something like that.
What did you say?
Yeah, it's hard not to like him.
It really
Which
is.
I never really have, but then the
like
more...
Him. I have every reason not to like him. Trust me, I'm an Auburn fan. True. They beat us in the national championship.
Shoot, you played him in high school.
We kicked his ass in high school.
Did you?
Yeah, shout out Spanish Fort, Hueytown, garbage. But no, I mean, he's a family guy. I mean, he seems fun. He seems positive most of the time. He's just an easy guy to cheer for.
Definitely. That was my best tune. The Browns in general. When it was going so bad,
yeah,
it couldn't be going. You're in the darkest of time. A beam of light shoots through, and it's Jameis Winston eating the dub. What was your NFL best, Blaine?
My best was, pull up this clip, man. This is one of the coolest things I see. Bradley Bozeman, shout out Roanoke, Alabama. Shout out the Crimson Tide where he went. You'll see here, go ahead and run this clip. Justin Herbert, this guy tackling Justin Herbert is absolutely doing a dirty gator roll.
Yeah, like, bro.
What are you doing? That's fine. 10 toes!
Yeah.
Yeah, baby! Look, you want to talk about your life flashing before your eyes, seeing that thing pop out of a corner and pin you on the ground. But this is what it's about. Brotherhood, family, that's my quarterback buddy. I'll go to the end of the world for him. I thought that was pretty cool by Bradley Bozeman.
Harbaugh's got him together.
He's lucky only one offensive lineman.
That's the thing, but like that's the stuff. It's always like, you know, and I'm not advocating for people to go fight. Okay, that's not what I'm saying. But there's just something about when the chips are down and it's just you and your boys, right? And something happens and you got to, you know, get out of something. And you throw those hands, it does bring you closer together.
No, for sure. And this is the perfect example of that, because one player tried to get away with a little something, wasn't overly egregious. Not like he's trying to, you know, I don't strangle Justin Herbert, but you tried to get away with something.
Wasn't Miles Garrett trying to hit him
in the head? And you got caught and you got punished for it within this like sort of unwritten rules of the game, right? Like no one took someone's helmet off or beat him, or there was no blood anywhere. You're not getting arrested.
Understandable violence.
Yes, with the unwritten rules of the game.
And again, I don't want to stray too far, but this just, when you said unwritten rules, I just want to throw this one thing at you and then get to our NFL worst and then get to calls. When I was watching that Netflix series that talked about the Red Sox and the comeback versus the Yankees they had and what happened the year before,
04.
Pedro Martinez is one of the most gangster human beings I've ever seen in my life. And I was laughing almost till I cried because there was the game against New York that kind of, you know, started turning the tide. Remember the game where, you know, they got in that scrum and Veritek hit A-Rod? Earlier in the game, it may have even been earlier in that year, Kevin Millar got hit by the Yankees. And Millar says he goes back to the dugout and Pedro Martinez walks up to him and goes, "Who do you want?" And he's like, what do you mean? He's like, "Who do you want?" And he's like, "Jeter. Hit Jeter." And Pedro looks at him and goes, "I want Soriano." He asked him who he wanted. He goes, "But he hit both of them." Like back to back on the hand.
I wouldn't want to face Pedro.
No, like that, I'm telling you, if you haven't seen that
I mean, series, I would because I like
but
the
like,
smoke,
can you just
but
imagine
well.
You're Kevin Millar, you're sitting in the dugout, Pedro Martinez, Hall of Famer, comes up to you, he's like, "Who'd you want? Who do you want?"
Well, that's a good accent.
Yeah, like I thought that was awesome. All right, tell you what I don't want though. Fletcher Cox, got a ton of respect for this guy. He would rip my limbs apart and beat me to death with them like it was nothing. And I don't believe in a lot of conspiracy theories, but this has got humiliation ritual written all over it. Why is he wearing what Kamala just wore to a rally? Let's go ahead and show this clip. Here's Michael Strahan. Dog, dude, what is that? If you're on audio, you need to see this. Dude, that is a woman's outfit.
Is that Grimace?
Like, that, but dude, like, Fletcher Cox is one of the most, like, manly men, like, physical. I watched this guy playing defensive line just wreck people for a long, long time and could still probably do it. But I want to ask you, do you think somebody made him wear that, or do you think he actually wanted
it? It's just hard for me to be convinced that you made Fletcher Cox do anything he didn't want to do. Who's going to make that thing do anything he doesn't
want to
do?
Well, there's people.
Well, I mean, I'm not, power. I don't know what goes on in the Illuminati. Like, I don't know. I know there's a lot of NFL players, NBA players, and Major League Baseball players with terrible taste and outfits that wear absolutely insane things. I mean, I watch guys in the NBA wear garbage cans.
But you know what? I would wear a garbage can over that.
Yeah, for sure. But I think he thinks that's cool.
Yeah, I think that's a good way to put it. Because I was thinking I wanted to do something outside of the box to be cool, gone wrong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right?
You're doing too much.
Being trendy.
I just wonder, like, if you were, let's say you're Fletcher Cox's friend. Okay. Like, you're a longtime friend. You're watching the TV. You're like, "Oh, Fletcher's going to be on TV today." You turn on the TV, you see him wearing that. You call him right after he gets done. What do you say to him?
Man, I got to be your wardrobe guy now.
Okay.
I've got to be in charge. Pay me 10%.
Can I tell you what I would say?
Yeah.
Can we play the music? Can we play the motivational music real quick? Can we go ahead and cue that up? Here's what I'm saying. Look, Fletcher, we've been boys forever. All right? We ride together, we die together, bad boys for life. We promised, right, in that treehouse that night, we'd always tell each other the truth.
Oh, man.
Don't get weird. Don't make it weirder than it already is. I'm on the phone with Fletcher Cox. Shut up, David. You're my boy. All right, if I was doing something that you didn't like or you thought looked funny, I would want you to tell me. My wife was cheating on me, I'd want you to tell me. If somebody was robbing me, I'd want you to tell me. If I wore a woman's dress on TV, I would want you to tell me, don't do it again. So I love you. Please don't hurt me, just like I've always said. But it's because I care about you, Fletcher. Please don't ever wear that again. And hey, bless up. Let's go get some pizza.
Some pizza?
Keeps getting
some pizza.
Well, we don't know Fletcher. We do know BG. So can we clip that and get that to Brandon Graham so that he can give to Fletcher
Cox?
We need to pass that on to BG to give to Fletcher Cox and do some good in the world.
Yeah, well, absolutely. I agree.
What was your worst?
My worst? Daniel Jones. I'm sick of it.
You hate Daniel Jones.
This is a fantasy football
I'm
thing.
I'm sick of it. It's more than that, David.
No,
it's just failure. It's just all-around failure. And it's more than Daniel Jones. I think the offensive line is bad, too. But Daniel Jones just keeps making the same mistakes after same mistakes. At some point, we got to tank, guys. All right? And you tank by keeping Daniel Jones out there. You make him believe.
Don't change a thing.
All right? You give him a little bit. All right? And then we tank. You get the first-round pick, whoever quarterback that is we want to take. But I think New York and everybody in New York as a Giants fan is done. with Daniel Jones.
David, what was yours?
My worst is a developing story as of today, and it's Jameson Williams. You know, the Lions are trying to put something really special together, and he's a big part of that. And right now, the Wayne County Prosecutor's Office is reviewing a warrant request for the arrest of Jameson Williams, Detroit Lions wide receiver, on a concealed weapons charge. The warrant request on a charge of carrying a concealed weapon in a motor vehicle was issued late last week by the Detroit Police Department, stemming from a traffic stop. And it just seems it keeps going on and on, right? This comes 2 weeks after he was suspended two games for violating the NFL's policy on performance-enhancing substances.
Damn.
And last year we had the gambling situation he was suspended
for. Can't get right, man.
Can't get right.
Here's what my thing, though. I've got no problem with if you legally buy a gun and you're in a place where you can conceal carry it. I don't have a problem with that. It's Second Amendment. In certain places you can do it, in other places you can't. There's places that have strict gun laws that have the worst gun crime in the country. But if I'm Jameson Williams, this is like the DUI thing for me. I'm super rich, like rich, long money. Why would I not just hire a security guard or even a security team? License, it's allowed to carry a gun. If I'm worried about my protection, because that's why you carry a gun, right? It's for protection. I don't think Jameson Williams going in there robbing a 7-Eleven. They probably wouldn't catch him if it was a foot race anyway, but I don't think that's why he has it. So to me, I just feel like there's so many ways to avoid this. You almost have to go out of your way to screw up like this. And then multiple times, and it's three different things. If you're Dan Campbell, like, everything is going so good right now. And we talk about culture and how important that stuff is. Like, how much more of this are you willing to take? Because Jameson Williams is a hell of a player. But, like, this can't become a chronic situation where we're having to babysit Jameson Williams all the time and then try and go win a Super Bowl. That's just not how it works.
And obviously, it's very possible with the concealed weapons charge to have a misunderstanding. Different states have different laws. Some states don't honor other laws with concealed weapons. And if you didn't have a prior history, you could get the benefit of the doubt and say, oh, this is a guy who's never been in trouble. There must be some sort of misunderstanding, or maybe he accidentally broke the law because his, you know, your concealed weapons permit could expire, something like that. But this is why when you have incident after incident after incident, you won't get the benefit of the doubt.
That's true. All right, let's get to the phone calls.
All right, let's go to Jonah in Arkansas. Jonah, you're up first today. What's going on?
What's up, guys? I had to jump off the line yesterday while we all talking about Deion Sanders. I just want to give a quick history lesson. This year marks the 20 years since Colorado last won a bowl game.
Wow.
I would be willing to go another 10 years if that meant that we somehow made it to the playoffs.
So you would be willing to, and you're saying if Deion Sanders went to Arkansas is what you're saying. Like or just in general, you would be willing to go on a 10-year bowl drought if it meant the 11th year you made the playoff.
No, if Colorado made, y'all were talking about there's some hypothetical magical scenario that Colorado makes the playoff.
Oh, I see what you're saying. It would have been worth it. You would have taken that deal.
It'll be worth it if they don't make it another 10 years.
Yeah.
Correct.
Okay. Let me, so.
I'd be willing to make that trade-off.
Even if they go and lose in the first round?
Correct.
Okay.
So let me ask you this, Jonah, and this is a question we've asked a lot of people that have called in and just people that watch the show. If I told you that Colorado at 10-2 made the Big 12 championship game, but if they go 10-3, they don't make the playoff. If they go 10-2 and don't play in the Big 12 championship game, they do make the playoff. Would you want to risk that and have Colorado play in the Big 12 championship game, or would you say, screw the Big 12, I just want the playoff?
I'd go with the playoff mostly for recruiting purposes after Shador and Travis leave.
Okay. I can actually understand that. I can understand that. But, Jonah, we'll see. The Big 12 is about to continue to be as nuts as possible. That, all of them. I mean, when you look across the board, it's going to be crazy the next couple weeks, but we're going to see.
Appreciate it, Jonah. Yeah, it would be interesting in that 10-2 scenario. I mean, Colorado wouldn't have a ranked win. Your only ranked opponent would be Kansas State at that point, and you lost to them. But the Deion Sanders brand and the brands of Shador and Travis Hunter maybe could offset that.
Like, what's the pull? Like, is that where the having Deion Sanders is such a huge advantage?
It just matters how many other 10-2 or 11-1 teams there are, or 10-3. I mean, a lot of people can lose. A lot of people can win here. Let's go to Pokey Texan in Texas. What's going on, Pokey?
Hey, fellas. Good afternoon.
What up?
I got to say, I'm kind of a big old country boy, about 6'6", I don't know, 320, 340. Put that outfit on me and Blaine and send us into Nashville, and let's get him a partner.
Yeah, look, it's funny. As three guys who dressed up as women to play basketball, I can see how it may sound a little bit hypocritical, but we are wearing jerseys. They were wearing wigs, okay? I didn't have a wig on. That, like, how do you, where do you buy that from at that size? Do you have to get that custom made? Like, if I wanted to get Pokey Texan a prom dress, where do I go? Is there a big and tall for women, or is that not a thing?
No. Bed Bath & Beyond silk sheet. Cheat it.
That's basically what he was wearing with a sport coat, Pokey Texan. But, hey, man, I'm sorry about Oklahoma State, brother.
Man, I wrote them off weeks ago. Chief out of the Booster Club and I, we gave up on them. We're looking at other stuff now. Going to talk to you about the home and home thing comparison here in Texas. Mm-hmm. As an Aggie fan, I really get to see it now for sure. With that game in Arlington is nonsense. That needs to be a home and home.
I agree.
Against Arkansas. Because now that we're bringing back Austin versus College Station every other year, people have forgotten how crazy raucous that rivalry really is.
Well, I mean, think about it too here, Pokey. I mean, Texas takes A&M's baseball coach. A lot of stuff comes out of that after A&M made it all the way to the College World Series, you know, championship in that three-game series. And if it keeps going on this track, that game is going to have massive implications for not only the SEC championship game, but the college football playoff as well. So we're getting a rivalry we haven't seen in a while, and I don't know if it could be hotter than what it's going to be in year one going into this bad boy.
That is going to be smoking hot, smoking hot.
Golly, and it's, I tell you
like
what.
Like Blaine in that outfit. Come on, Blaine.
If you ever see me wearing that outfit, something has gone terribly wrong.
He's undercover.
Yeah, either I'm undercover or please save me.
Yeah, Pokey, great call, buddy.
Appreciate it, Pokey. All right, let's go to Shaq in Mississippi. Shaq, talk to us.
What's going on, man?
Shaq, what's up, man?
I just want to talk to you about Ole Miss and what you think about them winning up.
Come on.
Well, I mean, Shaq, let me ask you this. Obviously, you know, I'm guessing you're an Ole Miss fan. I'll answer, but how do you feel right now?
I feel there's a strong chance we can, but we need a couple things falling our way.
Well, you know, it starts, everybody's going to be talking about that, you know, Ole Miss hosting Georgia game mm-hmm. as the, you know, kind of the one that if you win that, if you're Ole Miss, you feel really good about going 10-2. This game at Arkansas to me, and I was talking about this earlier with Chris Phillips on SEC Unfiltered. If you're an Ole Miss fan or you're an A&M fan this weekend, those are very, very scary games yep. because Arkansas yeah. and South Carolina are a little bit bipolar, right? Like we've seen Arkansas play really, really good. We've seen them struggle like they did a couple weeks against LSU. We've seen South Carolina almost beat Bama and then get run out of the gym by Ole Miss. But when I look at Ole Miss, to me, you're a defensive team that where is the fun on offense gone? I know Trey Harris has been beat up, but doesn't it seem like some of these teams that finally get a good defense kind of curb the creativity offensively? Because, I mean, how many times, Shaq, have you watched Lane Kiffin at Ole Miss just dial it up and you guys be bombs over Baghdad, going fast, having fun, making creative plays? It just seems like there's been a regression there, even with an offensive line that hasn't lived up to expectation.
Correct. They're folding under pressure.
What's the sentiment about Lane Kiffin at Ole Miss right now? If you guys, let's say you guys do go 9-3, how disappointed are Ole Miss fans going to be with Lane Kiffin when this season was supposed to be the one that's different?
I think you said it right, because we had playoff a bust, so to say.
Yeah. Give me a score, Ole Miss, Arkansas.
I got 32-24.
Okay. I can see that.
See that.
I can see that.
That Kentucky game is going to come back to haunt Ole Miss.
Yeah, and as disappointing as losing to Kentucky is, it's like if you're able to beat Georgia because that's still one of those humps you were trying to get over, that can be a huge part of your season. And honestly, if you are to thread this needle and win the next four, talking about Arkansas, Florida on the road, Mississippi State and your rivalry in the Egg Bowl, and Georgia, that would be an impressive finish.
Oh, it'd be very impressive.
You'd have a case for sure.
I think Ole Miss would have a chance to host a first-round playoff game. I will say, Shaq, before we let you go, and please call in again, man. We'd love to talk to you as this goes on. You know, when I look at Ole Miss, and I look going forward, it's kind of like what Moscona said about LSU losing the game at A&M, talking about that Kentucky game. You lost your mulligan. Because that would have been Ole Miss's mulligan, right? If you'd have won that and then you went up and you lost at Arkansas, all right, you still got two losses. We got this stretch to win out against Georgia, Florida, Mississippi State, as you put it. 10-2, I still think is going to get you in the SEC regardless. But, Shaq, we're going to keep monitoring it, man. Thanks for calling in.
Appreciate it, Shaq.
Yes, sir. Appreciate it.
Thank you, man.
Appreciate it.
All right, they're still adding some callers to my system, so go to the chat.
All right, let's go to the chat here.
All right, let's go to a $5 donation for Matt WH15. Appreciate it, Matt. He says, love the Ole Miss caller. Just listen to it. I don't think Lane Kiffin will be the head coach at Ole Miss next year. I think Lane's going to walk himself on down to Florida after they lose to Georgia.
Yeah, because, I mean, Ole Miss isn't firing Lane Kiffin. Like, let's get that out. But this goes back to the conversation that we had when Florida got drilled by Miami and Ole Miss still hadn't lost a game, and we kept saying, what would it take, what mixture or combination would it take for Lane Kiffin to go to Florida? Would it have to be maybe Ole Miss doesn't do as well, and now that his leverage is more with Florida than it is with Ole Miss? Or would it be Ole Miss is doing really well, and he's going to leverage Ole Miss by pretending like he's interested in the Florida job? Well, it seems like, and again, they only got two losses. They don't have three yet, so I don't think we can make our mind up yet, and nobody outside of Lane Kiffin knows, you know, what exactly Lane Kiffin is going to do. But if you're an Ole Miss fan, it's kind of a double whammy. Because on one hand, you don't want to lose games. You want to win games. You want to do well. You want to make the SEC championship for the first time. You want to go to the playoff. But then you also want to keep the guy that's kind of helped you on this come up in Lane Kiffin. And if it goes south for one reason, it could go south for another. So that is kind of scary.
All right, let's go to a $5 donation from O'Neill. Appreciate it. He says, guys, Navy's only 11-point favorite over Rice. Seems like an overreaction. No injuries and rolled everybody except Notre Dame.
Yeah.
And now has more to prove. Do we trust Navy with the 11 points against Rice?
And Rice just fired their head coach this week. They literally just fired him. So maybe we're going to do best early bets tomorrow and let you guys know. But I saw the Navy minus 11. I tell you what, Texas Tech, and I know betting on Texas Tech is fluctuated this year. It's been tough. They're a huge dog on the road at Iowa State. I was looking at some of the bets earlier today. I really like some of these lines that have come out for this weekend. And some of these, I think Penn State was still +3.5. I would love to take Penn State if I could get them at plus money over a field goal. You got to love that.
All right, let's go to the Ginger Tiger. What's up, dude? He says, I don't understand, Jake. Help me out. The LSU offensive line is so good. Why can't you just run block? I understand it's different than pass setting, but usually with an offensive line that's good, you can do both.
Well, and again, I haven't been able to be in the meeting rooms and watch the film and know exactly what the call is. But to me, I don't think it's a talent thing. I think it's just very hard to consistently, against SEC defenses and top-level defenses, get five guys to do the right thing and spring it. Because, again, I used to deal with this in the back end all the time. I got four guys, really five if you count the nickel. Two safeties, two corners, could be a field, could be a boundary. You could cross-train them. I used to cross-train mine. Plus the nickel. In one play, I could have three guys or even four out of the five grayed out perfect. Grayed out perfect. But if one guy screws up and gives up a touchdown, none of that matters. Mm-hmm. So you can have Will Campbell make a great block. You can have Emery make a great block. You can have the backside guard make a great block and the center block back and do great. But if that front side guard doesn't do his job, then none of it matters because the other guy can blow up the play. That's why football is the ultimate team sport. It's not about one guy doing well. It's about everybody doing well at the same time. That's what makes it so tough. And that's probably what makes it so frustrating, right, for not just the fans of LSU, but the coaches. They're probably looking at that tape going, golly, like how many times are we going to get four out of five guys doing great and one guy screw it up? It's about getting the five to do it well.
Well, I got Chris on the line in Baton Rouge. Chris, how are you feeling about LSU right now?
Hey, what you say there, boys?
What up, Chris? Up?
Let me do like everybody else does for some reason. Can y'all hear me?
Can you hear me? Yeah, we can hear you.
Do that. It's pretty simple to me. Look, so, I mean, y'all literally just talked about what I was calling about, but I guess I'll get into it a little more and ask somebody like y'all that have played at that level or coached close at that level. What about maybe some toss sweep? What about some pin and pull? Get those guards maybe moving downhill. Do y'all think that would do anything for the run scheme, or is that – if we can't run it through the A-gap, that there's too advanced to even attempt to try.
Well, you know, I don't, Chris, I don't think you're crazy saying that. And I think they probably tried to tool with this thing because, again, and it's not, this is an obvious thing. You don't have to, I mean, this is in football for dummies. But if it's me, I'm going to run behind my best players, mm-hmm. especially when it matters the most. And not that you want your tendencies to be through the roof. I'm not just going to run power, you know, to Will Campbell's side every time, but I can have stuff built off of that that then goes the other way. But most of the time, just like if my best receiver's out there, I'm going to find a way to get him the ball. If my left side of my line, and it's not really one guy, it's multiple guys, right, because they're so close to each other. So, yeah, my left guard may be kicking ass, but if my left tackle's struggling, that left side could still be blown up, right? But if I got a good left guard and I got a good left tackle and I like that combination, especially on zone blocks where guys combo up to linebackers, and that's a tough thing to do. It really is, especially the defensive line moves. There are ways to kind of put a Band-Aid on it, but if you start doing that too much, your tendencies go through the roof. And as a defensive coach, that's what I think Travis Williams is doing such a great job at Arkansas when they run all these stunts and games up front. If I know that when you line up in a certain formation and that back is set at a certain place, that 74% of the time you're running to a spot, I'm going to slant to that spot every single time. So there's a give and take there. I'm sure they've mixed it up and tried to change it. But this is where not having an elite running quarterback like a Jaden Daniels kind of hurts you. Because when you have that, you can get extra help in blocking, and then you become an even bigger threat to both edges of the line of scrimmage.
So. Hey, Chris, I'll say this, though. You're onto something. I like this idea, especially on the toss sweeps and really even a little bit with the pin and pull. Because to Jake's point, if one person on the offensive line goes the wrong way or does something wrong or just can't win their block, mm-hmm. then the worst place to run it is in the interior because one defensive line can blow you up and one guy messes everything up. If you get out on the perimeter, though, like you're talking about, and you can't do it every time because of tendencies like Jake's saying, but if you can get out on the perimeter, now all of a sudden, if the backside tackle does wrong or gets blown up, well, he's out of the play anyway because you're toss sweep to the left or your pin and pull to the left. Now you can also get your tight ends and your wide receivers involved the blocking game. That the assumption has to be, though, well, our tight ends and wide receivers can block well, or they're at least engaged in the run game and the blocking scheme. If they also don't block well, then you've created another problem.
And again, it's funny. We talk about balance, Chris, when it comes down to offense, defense, and special teams at complementary football. We talk about balance at an even more specific point on offense when it comes to run and pass. But a lot of people don't talk about balance when it comes to just run game or pass game in where you can hit people. So if I am good on the outside on the perimeter running the ball, whether it's jet sweeps, toss sweeps, whatever, guess what that opens up? The interior. And it takes pressure off the inside. Now you're having to defend every blade of grass instead of saying, you know what? They're a gap scheme run team. We're just going to have to hammerhead in between the C gap to the A gap. We're not worried about any of that stuff. That's why the jet sweep motion, and I know motion is a lot to dictate, see what covers they're in, is it zone, is it man? That's why that jet sweep motion on some of these runs causes so much stress, because when that quarterback can fake that jet sweep that's going to hit on the perimeter and then give the ball to the running back on inside zone, that puts a lot of stress on the linebackers and can really mess with eyes. So there's ways around it, but LSU just hadn't figured it out yet.
Appreciate it, Chris.
Hey, guys, got one more thing.
Go ahead.
Who would have ever thought after a decade plus of Les Miles that we'd be asking for a toss sweep down here in Baton Rouge?
I know. Hell, I had more LSU fans when I started the J-Boy show just say, God, you know what? I'm just glad I'm not seeing the quarterback toss it and then be the lead blocker. Can you imagine doing that now in today's game?
Before you go, Chris, give us your prediction for Alabama before you go.
LSU plus six. I mean, LSU's going to cover by six.
All right.
Okay.
We're going to see. Thank you, man. All right, let's go to Cole in Orlando. Cole, talk to us.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's up, Cole?
Man? So, first of all, the Yankees suck. Absolutely terrible. Freddie Freeman is the go. I hope the Dodgers win tonight.
You're off to a great start, Cole.
Yeah. So when do we fire Gus Malzahn? Do you think that this is just revenge for what you
Boy, you called the right guys. No, buddy, you called into the right. This is the hotline you're And here's what I want to say. There's still a contingent of Auburn fans. They're like, man, we shouldn't have fired Gus Malzahn. And then you know what I do? I point to what is going on at UCF right now. And listen, Gus Malzahn did a lot of great things at Auburn. Gus Malzahn, I don't know him personally, but I know a lot of people that like him, and I know he's treated a lot of people really, really well. But Gus Malzahn has a problem with consistency, and a lot of coaches do. He gives you the highest of the highs, or almost the highest of the highs. He gets close to the highest of the highs, but buddy, he can give you the lowest of the lows. And it's just that inconsistency. And you remember how hot you guys were for a while, Cole? Like UCF coming up to the Big 12, right? Big time school in Florida, big brand name with what Mackenzie Milton and everybody did. And y'all were rolling a little bit with Gus. You get KJ Jefferson, but then it's just like, it's like Klinko. It just start, here it goes, and then it just keeps going. So, like, honestly, Cole, do you think they're going to fire him? Do you think they'd fire him this year or no?
Yes.
Really? That, see, 100%. I would be shocked.
I think all of the fans are asking for, hysterically, they're asking for Scott Frost, which, as much as I love what Scott Frost did, because that's when I was at UCF. No, I don't want Scott Frost back. I think
you're asking for Scott Frost? Woo! That's a tough sell.
Like, I know a guy.
What I want, like, oh, is that guy in Alabama? Or?
Look, there's a guy walking around in Tuscaloosa right now itching.
I thought you'd go Brian Harsin.
Itching. Nick Sheridan?
No, we don't talk about COVID on this show. Nate Oates is willing and ready to come change that program down there.
Oh, boy.
All right.
And pull in Indiana and go pull up like a great group of five coach? Or do we steal?
Look, I'd go get that dude from James Madison, to be honest.
You know, if it's me and I'm UCF and I'm sitting there just looking around, you know who I think is actually a really, really good candidate for that job? Mm. And he's a young guy. I think Brennan Marion, the offensive coordinator at UNLV, I think would be a really good fit at UCF. Or here's what you do. You fire one Auburn guy, even though Gus is really an Arkansas guy. But you fire one, then you hire another. You go get Travis Williams, the defensive coordinator at Arkansas.
Or, at UCF. Or you hire Kalen DeBoer.
All right, stop.
And Alabama loses their third.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. But it's I know it's a tough time down there, bro.
Great call, man.
Thanks, man.
Thanks so much, guys.
All right, let's go to Cameron in Florida. Cameron, talk to us.
Hello.
Cameron, what's up, man?
Okay, so the Yankees, the dudes at the Yankees game, since they're allowed to come back tonight, do you think they do it to grab Mookie again or another player if they get the chance?
Well, you're one for one. That's the way I see it. I just...
Well, now you open the door to every foul ball that has the chance of being caught is going to get messed with. Like, if it comes down to the world's, if you're just getting banned for, did those guys get banned for life?
Well, like let's put it this way.
Like, no, right? They didn't.
No.
They didn't. They got banned. So if it's, is the punishment that severe to where, like, you would take it if it meant you could.
If the outcome was that it was a foul ball, or if the outcome was favorable for your team, and you were the fan that did it, would it be worth getting, maybe not banned for life, but kicked out of that game, like in the beginning? Like, for example.
Well, those guys are already famous from last night.
Yeah, I know, forever. But like for example, okay, let's just say you win tickets to go to the sidelines of, and I'm not saying you specifically, but just a Michigan fan, got tickets for the sideline of the Ohio State-Michigan game. All right, sidelines, great seats, you won them, or you paid for them, it doesn't matter. You're standing there on the sideline just having a conversation with your boy. And then all of a sudden, somebody says, hey, watch out! And you turn around, you realize you're close to the sideline, but you're not in there. And a guy's reaching for the ball to catch it, a wide receiver almost out of bounds. And you move out of the way and knock it down. It's called incomplete. Not on the field, but almost said kind of just a reactionary thing.
Yeah.
And they call it incomplete, but they're like, sir, you have to leave the stadium. In the first quarter, first drive of the game, is it worth it to you?
But then Coach Moore is like, hey, you don't have to leave the stadium because that was so impressive.
No, you get
your fifth year of eligibility.
Yeah, well, then there's a package on your doorstep the next day.
You're playing free safety now.
Thank you. And now all of a sudden you got a room in the facility.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I can see
what I'm saying?
Cameron, we're going to see, man.
We're going to see. Maybe, I mean, is Freddie Freeman going to hit another home run?
What's up, Cam?
Oh, yes. And I do think Freddie will hit another one. But the 12-team college football playoffs, I think I got my teams. Okay?
Okay.
Go ahead.
I'm going to go with Oregon.
Okay.
Winning the Big Ten.
Yep.
Georgia winning the SEC. Mm-hmm. Miami in the ACC. And BYU and the Big 12. And then you throw in Notre Dame in there.
Okay.
I'm going to throw in, Indiana.
Okay.
And Iowa State. So, and then Boise State, that's eight. So then this is where it got interesting. I had to make a decision between Ohio State and Texas A&M. I chose Ohio State because I have them to lose in the Big Ten championship. And they're going to lose. That'll be two losses. But Texas A&M could have three. So that's where I'm going to go.
Okay.
Ohio State.
Then, all right, Cam.
I like it, man.
Boise State for the
To round it out, man. That, if that happens, there might be some people showing up at your doorstep.
Yeah, that's it's going to be the FBI or the Men in Black.
Thanks for calling, man.
The way that works out, it's not good.
Appreciate it. All right, let's stay in Florida and go to Jake. Jake, talk to us, man.
Right here, David.
Right. Hey, fellas. Been a couple of weeks since I've called in. Been a couple of rough weeks. Glad that we bounced back this past weekend against Missouri. I saw some things that I've wanted to see for a couple of weeks now, and that is a traditional run game. You can't facilitate everything through one person on offense. I feel like that's what we've tried to do with Jalen Milroe. And we've only been going as far as he's taken us. And he's clearly, I don't care what the coaches say. I don't care what he says. I feel like they're trying to keep something under wraps. He is not as explosive. I mean, you can just see it. He's not as explosive on his running plays. He's not planting on his back foot. He just doesn't have the zip on the ball he once had. So I feel like there's something going on.
There might be.
With his lower extremities.
Well, you know, there were some rumors coming out before last week. And, you know, they even asked him about it. And he's like, oh, I'm fine. You know, this, that, and the other day. You may be right.
That wear and tear is real.
It's a real thing, like, man.
If you're going to run that much as a quarterback, you're going to feel it the next couple weeks.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's even more of a reason why you have to start leaning on a traditional run game. Get the backs going. Take the pressure off Jalen Milroe. And this bye week is going to be huge before LSU.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, well, Jake, while I got an Alabama fan on here, you know, a lot of people give Alabama fans grief because the expectations are so high. But say what you want about Alabama fans, they know what a championship team looks like. They understand that. They can feel that, right? They've seen it so many times before. Even with the defense shutting out Missouri, who was wounded, but that's still really tough to do. Do you feel like at any point outside of the first half of the Georgia game, and maybe the Wisconsin game, that this Alabama team has looked like a national championship team?
No, absolutely not. And I think that as sad as this sounds, I feel like the Missouri game is probably the most complete game we've played all year.
Yeah, it's up there. And y'all still slogged around on offense for a while.
Right, and I think once we started leaning on that run game, the running backs got in rhythm. We started churning out some yards. I think you kind of saw that progression of the offense. It took another step whenever we did that. And I think that's what we have to do going forward.
No, I'm with you. We're going to see. I mean, that the bye week is big, though. It's a good point.
And another thing, is there another team outside of Texas A&M that has benefited from – another SEC team has benefited from not having divisions this year? I mean,
Tennessee.
So far, their SECs, yeah, I guess so. But they dropped the game to Arkansas. They probably shouldn't have. I'm just saying, Texas A&M, I think outside of the Texas game, Texas A&M's SEC schedule has been lackluster. I mean, they dodge Alabama. They don't get Georgia. They don't get Tennessee. They had to play LSU. I'll give them credit for that. But
what about Ole Miss?
I don't think LSU.
They play Ole Miss.
No, I'm talking about, did Ole Miss benefit a ton from not having division now?
Well, theoretically.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at their schedule. And I know Tennessee this year does have to play Alabama, even though Alabama's in the West. And they have to play Florida and Georgia. So it's not like they ducked it this year. But, I mean, you just remember in the past, Tennessee, I mean, you had to play Bama. You had to play Florida because it's a rivalry game. You had to play Florida. You had to play Georgia. But I think the team that benefited the most out of all of college football with no divisions is in the Big Ten, Jake, and they're called Penn State. That's who I'd
appreciate it, Jake.
Oh, great call, man.
Great call, buddy. All right, let's get to bets. Oh, sorry, David. I've hit your table three times this week. Fourth time, you can punch me.
We'll do it again.
Wherever you want, except for two places in one area. All right, tonight, Jacksonville State, Liberty. Jacksonville State, listen, we clowned them for what happened against Coastal because they lost a bet for me, but they've been hot. last four games, I think. They started out 0-3, yeah. Now they're 4-0. Yep. They're playing a Liberty team that's going to be 13 flavors of piss after their playoff chances ended. I like the over in this game. I think Salter goes off. I think Jacksonville State finds a way at -114. By the way, shout out FIU. New Mexico State last night started out ugly, but buddy, that over hit. And then give me Western Kentucky playing a Kennesaw State team coming off the biggest win in the history of their program against the Liberty team that's playing Jacksonville State. I'm down with the TTP. Oh, you know me. Ooh. Over 34.5 at -150.
Yeah, I'm interested in this Jacksonville State Liberty game. Like you said, Jacksonville State four straight wins and Liberty, man, losing to Kennesaw State. I'm going to go ahead and take Jacksonville State money line on the road +114 and then give me double dogs today, okay? I'm
going to
take
the Dodgers
money line +124. And look, Freddie Freeman's hit a home run in six straight World Series games. If you want to go for seven, that's going off.
That's insane.
+475 for a home run tonight.
Wow, I love it. All right, I love overs. I'm taking both overs today. Give me Jacksonville State Liberty over at 63.5. That's going off at -114. Kennesaw State, West Kentucky over 49.5, going off at -1.
Ace, what you got? Why does it smell like the Yankees money? No, tonight. Whoa. Okay, going Liberty money line at -135. Then Kennesaw State +24.5. All right, again, we know on the road at Western Kentucky at -123. All right, let's get to some donos.
All right, if you donated today, guys, thank you so much. Really appreciate it. We're going to start with a $5 donation from CD Nighthawk. Said Army played San Jose State at Levi's Stadium about 6 years ago. We sat in a private box. Well worth the money.
Nice. That's cool. So look, Army, I am very intrigued. And they play again this week against Air Force. This is the first week I'm going to take Army again in my locks because I'd be stupid not to. But game against Air Force kind of scares me, Cone.
Service Academy.
It scares like 24.5. Mm. I mean, Air Force just runs it like 900% of the time.
$20 donation from Charles. Appreciate it, Charles. Here's a 20 spot for the love towards Army. Go Army. Beat Navy.
Hey, how about that? 20 spot.
Perfect segue.
SGR with a $2 donation. Missed and be important exception. Type that wrong. I just read whatever you put in the prompter. Army versus Navy. Who do y'all think wins?
Army.
Let's go. A $2 donation from Josh. Appreciate it, Josh. If University of Florida and UGA is bad neutral site, is Texas and Oklahoma as well?
No, that was my one exception to the rule, and I gave reasons and showed my work. My math teacher would be very impressed.
$5 donation from Matt. Appreciate it, Matt. He says, once the other dude grabbed Mookie's arm and started pulling them away, it was pretty awful. This is unacceptable.
That's where I draw the line. I'm with you on that one.
$2 donation from Freddie Freeman's Teeth. It says, I'm hitting another tank today, guys. Best believe it.
I wonder what the line is on that. You've hit home run in six straight World Series. Could he be
it's
minus?
The record.
Could he be minus money to hit a home run, which is insane?
No, that's what I'm saying. It's +475.
Oh, it's +475?
That was my point, man. Great value for Freddie tonight. +475 to hit one plus home run.
Why not?
$5 donation from Walter. Appreciate it, Walter. Congratulations to my daughter Libby's soccer team. Regular season 12U soccer champs.
Let's go.
2 years in a row. Go Eagles.
Hey, we got three. Three is a dynasty in a row. Three in a row is a dynasty.
$5 donation from Dylan. Appreciate it, Dylan. He says, Texas A&M is the best team in the nation. We're going all the way this year, fellas, and there's nothing you can do to stop us. P.S. Well, please don't say anything bad about us.
Well, somebody that picked y'all to go 10-2, I wouldn't hate that. What I'm noticing from A&M fans is like 80% of them are like, everybody shut up. Like, everybody just shut up and stop talking about it. We got to go beat South Carolina. We still have a lot to do. It can still fall apart. And I get that. But there's that 20%, right, that's already like gassing it up, putting gas on the fire, which I love it.
$5 donation from Ashton. Appreciate it, Ashton. It says, Vanderbilt upset this weekend, laying 7.5. Best bet on the board.
Like the +7.5 or money line? I don't know. We're going to talk some Auburn Vanderbilt tomorrow. All right, Diego Pavia. Dude, he's trying for like the two-peat on Auburn, but the three-peat on Freeze. Because when Freeze was at Liberty, he beat him.
Really?
In New Mexico State. Then last year, obviously New Mexico State came to Auburn, pulled their pants down in front of everybody. So he's going for the three-peat against Hugh Freeze. You want to talk about it's personal. It's super purse.
$5 donation from I'm Duckin' says, boys, you dressing up for Halloween tomorrow?
Yeah, I'm Luigi.
Oh, no way.
I'm Luigi.
There's Adam's no Mario. Way you're fitting in that pipe, though. There ain't no way. What? Who's going to be? Is Darby Lou going to be Princess Peach?
No, that's Ava.
Who's
Ava?
Mary Marie's Toad.
Are you serious? That is hilarious. So, you know, we're not, Reed's like 30 weeks pregnant, so I'm going to have some candy. going to hand out tomorrow. I'm really going to double up. I'm going to fatten up the kids in the neighborhood. I made that.
Y'all dressed up for the
full
show?
Full size candy bar?
That's the only way we do it.
Yeah.
I'm going to give them two. What about you? What are you dressing up as?
Aaron Hernandez.
I knew I shouldn't have asked you that.
Wow.
I knew I shouldn't have asked you that.
Pretty sweet. Excited about it.
Good tight end.
Yeah. $2 donation from David's favorite Badger. Can you dress him as Brutus, the Buckeye, for Halloween?
Get him out of here. Yeah. Get him out of the chat.
Yeah.
$5 donation from Booster Club Cars. Appreciate it. Can the Booster Club get an update on the action figures? They were delivered on Monday. Have they made it their way to the
studio? We'll ask them the minute we get out of here.
$5 donation from Ainsley. Ainsley, thank you so much. Says, Jake, I can't wait to get y'all's little girl in Auburn jersey.
Thank you, Ainsley. That's really sweet.
All right.
And we'll take it. My wife will love it. She's from Tuscaloosa. I'll make sure she loves it.
If you donate today, guys, thank you so much. Really appreciate it. Let's get to that poll. Should that Yankees fan be banned, celebrated, or banned and celebrated?
I would say banned and celebrated.
Yeah, probably.
I would say that 39%. I think it was tight.
That one, 38%.
Celebrated, 13%. Banned and celebrated, 35%. Banned, 52%.
Oh, wow. Tough crowd. All right. We appreciate everybody calling in, hopping in the chat. Shout out to Bet Online, the DW Shop. Go check out the new board game and find out what your anti-racist journey is going to be. You can only choose three. The choice is yours. Shout out to ZBiotics as well. Drink that before you drink, and you'll feel better than you used to feel the next day. And like the chances of Freddie Freeman not hitting a tank in a World Series game, we're going. Oh, no. Oh, and it's still in on my hand. I blew it.
Almost slipped on that card yesterday.
Did it? Yeah, gone. Sorry, it's a banana peel Mario Kart. See y'all.